We're looking on how to keep our tools sharp, tools of ministry. And in dealing with the subject of prayer, just a very, very, very quick review. 2 weeks ago, dealt with effective praying, that we need to recognize the power and privilege that we have in prayer, and then prioritize our time and keep ourselves distanced or removed from distractions. Then last week I was looking at purposeful prayer, specifics, not just praying, Lord bless the missionaries, but how to bless the missionaries and what to do specifically in our life. Tonight I want to look at the third avenue of effective praying, of sinless prayer. Do not confuse sinlessness with the common conception in the world of absolute sinlessness. Over in John chapter 8, those who rebel against the authority of Scripture concerning the use of capital punishment use that and take the passage where it says, "Let him that is without sin cast the first stone." And understand there that Jesus was not talking about an absolute state of perfection, deity, because none of us would fit that category. But interestingly enough, this was in the very early morning. The Pharisees who were bringing this woman to Jesus to see what he would do had just come from the morning sacrifice. They had offered an animal for a sacrifice, for daily sacrifice for their sins. They had confessed their sins. They had come out, and having confessed their sins, they should have been without sin. But immediately upon coming from this act of worship, they started perverting the law of Moses by only bringing the woman and not the man. And that's what he has reference to. When I speak of praying sinlessly, that does not mean we have to be sinless in its absolute state. But there are some conditions that will render us in a, if you will, sinless condition. Six of them that I have here tonight, and these are things that make praying that which will sharpen our ministry. I want to begin in Isaiah chapter 59. And do some jumping around in scriptures, and since the weather is bad, I'll try to jump in big quantities and get done quickly. I said I'll try. Isaiah chapter 59. The first key to praying sinlessly is to have a saved life. Isaiah 59, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." It's not that God can't hear, but here are people that are out of fellowship with him. And you want to see how bad it was? Let's read on quickly. "For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. But he that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. The act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment or better justice in their goings. They have made them crooked path. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." These are not nice folks. These are unsafe folks. And consequently, no matter how pious they might be, no matter how even sincere in their praying they might be, because they have rejected the salvation of God, God says, ain't going to happen. Now, when a person comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, positionally, every single one of our sins is gone. Past sins, present sins, future sins. Interesting how the Bible terms where they go. Psalm chapter 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, He has removed our transgressions from us. Not the north and the south. You can measure that distance. East from the west is infinite. And God has taken our transgressions and removed them from us. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 7. It says that God has put our sins behind His back. What's behind your back? Don't know. Can't see it, can you? And every time you turn around, your back is still behind you. This is a bad time of year. I get an itch right in the middle of my back. And the corners in our house are getting worn down from me scratching. I can't reach back there. That's where our sins go, behind God's back. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. He has buried our sins in the depths of the sea. I understand there are some places in the sea that are so deep, the pressure is so great that nothing can survive it. That's where our sins are. When a person comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they come into a relationship with God, and because of that, then God is capable of hearing prayers. Now, there is one prayer that God will hear of the unsaved person. I want to guess what it is? Exactly. Lord, save me. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Here's the confession of a man who's trusted Christ as Savior. And he says, God heard that cry. He will always hear that cry. Second thing, the believer needs a cleansed life. Since I just made reference to the Psalm, Psalm 66, verse 18 says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What this verse is saying is that there is unconfessed sin in my life that I just don't want to deal with. And God doesn't want to deal with me in prayer. And the issue is quite obvious. If I am not willing to conform my life to what God wants me to be doing, then why should I come to God and say, you do what I want you to do? It just seems fair. If we want God to do some work on our behalf, that we do what God wants for us to do. And if we regard iniquity, if there's sin in my life and I just don't want to get rid of that sin, I'm really enjoying my sin. God says, well, don't bother me with your requests. Third thing, faithful life. I mentioned this passage from Matthew's Gospel in the first message, but I want to look at it again from Mark's Gospel tonight, Mark chapter 11, and a little bit different aspect of it. Mark chapter 11, verse 20. Move Mark 11 in my Bible. There we go. Verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree. Now, this is the fig tree that Jesus cursed because it had leaves but no fruit on it. They passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith, period. Have faith in God. oftentimes, and he goes on to explain about the relationship of faith and prayer, a misplaced faith means a misplaced prayer life. I wish I had a nickel for every time I heard someone say within the last 10 years, you need to believe in yourself. Yeah, well, I do believe in myself. I believe I can mess things up pretty good. But I have faith in a God who doesn't. And then if I'm praying, I'm praying to a God who is answering my prayer. It's ridiculous to ask someone for something you know or you think they can't deliver. Pat, give me $1 million. Oh, I'm sorry, I have to ask Laura. And what? Sometimes we have faith in our faith. How many times have you heard this one? I believe in the power of prayer. Is that biblical? I don't believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of God who answers prayer. Prayer doesn't change things. God changes things. Prayer just allows my requests to be known unto Him. That's all. Now, yeah, okay, if you want to get technical, indirectly, prayer changes things and all that. The object of our faith is not prayer. The object of our faith is not faith. The object of our faith is God. And consequently, He gets the glory. A saved life, a cleansed life, a faithful life, a peaceful life. Just drop down a couple of verses to verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. You have interpersonal relationships that are amiss. If you have done something to offend somebody and you haven't taken care of it, if somebody has done something against you and you haven't forgiven them, at least in your heart, God is not going to listen to your prayer. Now, let me say something quickly about forgiveness, because there's some misunderstandings about that and about the enactment of forgiving. Does God forgive everybody? Careful. Does God... There's one no. An iffy no, but there's one no. Does God forgive everybody? Ah, you've been living with me too long. No, you haven't been living with me too long. Oops, I think I'm going to need prayer. If God forgives everybody, would anybody be in hell? No. Has God provided forgiveness for everybody? Ah. Is God willing to forgive everybody? So, if God has provided forgiveness, if God is willing to forgive, why isn't everybody forgiven? Because not everybody has asked. There are times when someone will offend you that you need to be ready to forgive. But the process of forgiving can't be transacted until they come to you and confess the sin and sought forgiveness. You can forgive in your heart, but you cannot transact that thing until they come there. But you have to be willing. And if you're not willing, Jesus is saying, well, then I guess really I needn't do the same either. We have to go back to this cleansed life thing. A saved life, a cleansed life, a faithful life, a peaceful life of union with one another. Number five, there's only six, satisfied life. James chapter 4. For once come wars and fightings among you, come they not hence even of your own lust that war in your members? Ye lust and ye have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war yet ye have not, because ye ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it in your lust. Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me. Now, there are times when you need, 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 need. And you can say, Lord, I need. And God says, yeah, I know you do. No problem. But the prayer here is a desire, a lust for something that really isn't a need. You're asking out of the will of God. You're asking for only yourself gratification. Nothing more than that, not for the glory of God. And God says, well, if you're not satisfied with the things I do give you, why should you ask for more? Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, I have learned that at whatever state I am, therein to be content. Satisfied life. Last one, believe it or not. Serving life. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Here is a heart that is bent on serving God. Now that doesn't necessarily, as I preached this morning, mean vocationally. It just means, Lord, whatever Your will is for me to do today, that's what I'm going to do. If Your will for me today is to go out and play a round of golf, hot dog, Lord, let me at it. And if Your will is for me to go down to the soup kitchen and serve homeless people, then that's what I'm going to do. If Your will for me today is to relax because my body needs it, I'm going to relax. If Your will for me today is to exert myself in something that will absolutely tire me out, then that's what I'm going to do. Whatever Your will is, Lord, that's what I'm here for. God says, and that's what I'm here for too. I will hear your prayers, and I will answer them. Because you have a life that's committed to doing what I want you to do. Saved life, free from sin life, a believing life, a faithful life, a life that is peaceful with those around you by restoring relationships and forgiving. Life that is satisfied with the things that already God has given us, and a life that is bent on serving Him. And guess what? You're praying sinlessly. Anyone who meets all six of those things is walking in the will of God. Now, yeah, are we still sinners? Of course we are. Well, what happens when any one of those, or even all of those things are amiss? Well, 1 John 1:9 says the answer is very simple. If we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us from most unrighteousness. Getting that word messed up. All unrighteousness. The word confess, homologeo, means literally to say the same thing. Say the same thing about sin that God says about it. If we have the mind of God towards sin, we'll have the mind of God towards redemption and confession and righteousness and cleansed life and faithful life and peaceful life and so forth. Sin's gone. God answers those prayers. When He answers those prayers, woohoo, look out. Man, what we can do for Him in service. Let's pray. Father, thank You now for the forgiveness of sins. Thank You for the fact that when we trusted Christ as Savior, positionally all sins were wiped away with the blood of Christ. Thank You that when we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us, that our lives can be constantly cleansed by that blood. that was offered on Calvary's cross. Thank you, Father, for the fact that we have a God who can be counted on to do what He says He will do. And Lord, we thank You that we have a life that is within Your will, a life that brings perfect contentment. May we be found to be satisfied with the things that You give us. And in doing so, then, Lord, be about Your will day in and day out. Vigor and vitality that we might proclaim to the world around us just how great You are. Lord, may we be keen in our prayers to accomplish much with our lives. And we'll thank You for what You accomplished then through us. For Your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're done already.